morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Great.
Very good. Very good. High-spirited and what have you. Gentlemen, we want to continue this week with some of our learnings from Brennan Manning's book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, and kind of tie in some of the things that we've been learning from Brennan about God's indiscriminate love for us and all of our brokenness. Today I'd like to look at a little scripture from the life of Jesus, and we find that in Luke's Gospel. It's in chapter 14, which is a pretty good chapter on humility and hospitality. All right, so could I have someone read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 12 through 14?
Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
Very good. Short and sweet. Initial responses.
Feed the poor.
Right. Well, you know, I want to use this little pericope, this couple verses, to kind of highlight, accentuate some of the things that we've recently been reading through the Ragamuffin Gospel of Brennan Manning's. So think of maybe some of our previous conversations regarding that reading and how it may parallel or accentuate the scripture, and vice versa.
Like, if I imagine Jesus at my dining room table, you know, his hospitality is his openness to me, and my openness in him, you know, is, freely just giving that indiscriminate love to, you know, others without regard for anything back. You know, I wouldn't, you know, I'm just giving it because God gave it to me freely, and no motives. And it's just like Brennan says it in here. "The human personality of Jesus is underrated when it is perceived as a passive mask for the dramatic speeches of divinity. And it's given him humanity, not just, his speeches and his, teachings. It's him actually coming and living with us, you know, and being with us and us getting to know him. And we reflect that in offering hospitality, especially to those that are poor."
Okay. Gives them a sense of acceptance and into your life. Think when they're feeling, you know, they've been told they're not, you know, up to par, they don't fit the bill to fit in back in that time, and it, back in Isaiah, it tells you to invite them into your home, you know, and the homeless, take care of them and raises their dignity, you know, and helps them feel accepted and all this stuff. I've always felt unacceptable. I even still myself today, my expectations about myself are way higher than, I think I should be farther along and yuck. You know, I mean, God accepts me just as I am. And I need to accept that and share that with others too. I accept them as they are with no expectations.
Okay. Very good, very good. Were you going to say something, Justin?
I like the fact that he, thanks to all the people that he originally invited to have the feast with, they all made excuses and they didn't come. So he went and got all these other people who didn't have maybe as much as he had. And just the fact that he was caring. And, you know, like he already said, he didn't expect anything back. And just show him who he is, what kind of person he is.
Yeah, so where would you see yourself in that story?
I'd be one of the person he would gather around, out of the street to get.
Okay, and how would that impact you? I mean, how does that strike you? That somehow or another he comes in, he seeks you to be part of this great banquet.
He's caring, and just that maybe he wants to develop some type of relationship or help me to get to know Christ better.
Yeah, we've all kind of seen some of those movies, or we may have even experienced in real life, right, where you're playing some sort of sporting athletic game, and you get two captains, and they get to pick. You pick one, I pick one, and we all...
Just don't be last.
Yeah, the last guy picked, right? It's like if Jesus all of a sudden shows up on the ball diamond and he's one of the captains, he kind of inverts the order. Mm-hmm. The guy who typically, you know, is picked last, like Smalls, on the Sandlot, all of a sudden becomes the first one picked. No, we'd have to imagine, you know, if we're, or maybe not for some of us, but if we were the last ones picked and now all of a sudden we're the first one picked, I mean, wouldn't that make you feel different?
Feel well accepted.
You're no longer like overlooked, you know, you're on, okay, I guess I got to take Smalls, come on, let's, here, you sit the bench or you go in right field or, you know, you don't feel like you're really part of the game. So there is this act taking place of making people feel wanted, have a level of recognition that makes them feel valued. You know, you're talking about dignity, things like that. So that's good, Justin. That's good.
They would feel a great appreciation for any hospitality that you give them in any way, shape, or form, where as your rich neighbor wouldn't have as much appreciation but just invite you to their house.
Yeah, and some of us say, I don't really have, I doubt I'm ever going to get invited to the presidential ball. It's very unlikely. And it's interesting, Luke, when he says this, well, before I kind of press on with some of the hermeneutic, anybody else have anything? You got something you want to add?
Yeah, yesterday we were kind of speaking about open-mindedness, and when I was reading Ragamuffin Gospel, I noticed in there, it said, they may be carrying precious gifts under shabby rags. And later on in that chapter, it says, I want new friends, not old mirrors. And when I was reading this chapter 14, verse 12 through 14 in Luke, that's what it kind of said to me is, you know, getting to know that my gift, you know, being repaid from sharing a meal with, you know, the ragamuffins, so to speak, is, you know, my gift from that would be understanding that there's God in everybody and finding it's not just through the rich that can just repay me through feeding me back, you know, inviting me to their big dinner. It's you know, getting to know my neighbor and loving everybody up, you know, equally and sharing with them what they don't have and getting repaid by them telling me how grateful they are and understanding that not everybody in the world has the same things that I do and they have different things to offer to the table, maybe conversation or just seeing them as grateful as they are just for a meal.
That's excellent, yeah.
Being invited to this banquet in the scripture, it's a lot like being here at the mission. It gives me a feeling that people do care, that I matter. I think we have a tendency, especially when we're active in our addiction or whatever the case may be, that we feel like nobody cares, you know, and to be welcomed to the banquet gives my life, you know, value. You know, I matter. I think that goes a long way. And it's breaking bread. It's not a box lunch. You know, you walk it through line here, take this and move on. It's breaking bread together and conversation, fellowship. That's what we get here.
Good. Right. Any other thoughts?
It offers that peace and reconciliation for all, like we're talking about, and without exception, even for moral failures, you know, even for me, you know, because I've failed a lot. And I think as a result of that, it gives me joy, you know. And I think that's what Jesus' ministry was all about, bringing joy to those people, the ragamuffins, the least, last, and lost, you know.
I'd say it's like you're on page 63. Jesus appears at the dining room table tonight with knowledge of everything you are and are not, total comprehension of your life story, every skeleton hidden in your closet. If you laid it out, the real state of your present discipleship with a hidden agenda, the mixed motives and dark desires buried in your sight, you would feel his acceptance and forgiveness. Experiencing God's love in Christ means experiencing that one has been unreservedly accepted, approved, and infinitely loved, that one can and should accept oneself and one's neighbor. Salvation is joy in God, which expresses itself in joy in and with one's neighbor. And I feel that here in this house. Anybody comes in here, who was it that you said that in an interview that everybody was your brother, they accepted you and brought you in?
Yeah, there is kind of a family quality. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you sharing just a quick hermeneutic on what's taking place here in this section of Luke's writing. It is about the ragamuffin. It is about the great reversal. Prior to verse 12, we would see that Luke's going to give a little parallel about a wedding. If you go to a wedding, don't sit in the front row. You know, that's where the parents sit, okay? They may come down, the usher may come down the aisle and tell you to beat it, but sit in the back, all right? And then maybe the usher will say, hey, you can, you know, you're close to the family, why don't you come up here and sit behind the parents, get a better seat, practice a little humility, because there's going to be this great reversal between first and last. Then he'll share this little story about table fellowship, and then following that is the parallel that Justin was talking about on the great banquet, that there's a lot of people who are invited, but not everybody honors their invitation, and yet somehow or another God wants to have this great big picnic and is inviting in a sense the whole world, and some people don't want to come, and so they'll go out and they'll find the ones in the alleys, come be part of this picnic. So we have all of this that speaks about humility and hospitality. This particular one that we read, verses 12 through 14, is we see Jesus kind of sharing a very Jewish custom. It's at the core of the social norm within Judaism at the time. Table fellowship was really, look at it, if I'm going to invite you to come to my dining room and eat with my family and I, what I'm really inviting you to is our inner sanctuary. This is a representation within Judaism of the presence of God. So it's kind of like coming to my own little church. I mean, we're going to have church when we break bread. That somehow or another sharing of the bread and sharing of the cup, which we practice within Christianity, right? We call it the Eucharist, communion, the Lord's Supper, those type of things. It's because there is this transaction, there is this exchange, there is this mutual encounter, right, that takes place that is very sacred. So this is a sacred space. And Jesus is saying, it's a shame for any of us, whether it be because of our economic level, here it says the rich, and it's really Luke's way of saying, those of you that can afford to have great, great parties, how come you're only inviting people into your sanctuary who can also afford to invite you into their sanctuary? So if you can afford to have a party, invite those who cannot afford it, because the inner sanctuary of the table is open to everyone, and not everyone really may have. I mean, so here we invite the homeless, and we sit around the table, and we have three meals a day, and we break bread. So some of the homeless that come into Lenawee County Mission don't necessarily have even a home in which they could invite us back to. And that's kind of what you're saying, Doug, that this whole sanctuary experience is really an experience of the indiscriminate love of God. And when we see Jesus inviting the lame and the blind and the ragamuffins, as Aaron said, that he hung out with to sit there and break bread, what he's really inviting them to do is to experience this love, to be in the sanctuary where God dwells, in the breaking of the bread, in the sharing. This intimate family environment that has a sacredness. It's almost like the table becomes an altar. And we don't just break open bread, we break open our very lives, and we share in conversation and fellowship, as you're saying, Dan, with one another on what's going on in our lives and how God is impacting our lives. And all of this is an expression of gratitude and for what God has blessed us with. And that's what makes hospitality at the core of the cultural norm in which Jesus is placed. So before we close, then, how does that reality of Jesus inviting you into the sanctuary of God, you as ragamuffins, how does that touch your life?
Gives me freedom, liberates me so I can live without worrying about guilt, shame of my past, or guilt, shame of further failures, I mean, I can just live today and be accepted.
Good. Hope. So I get hope.
Peace.
Acceptance.
Yeah.
Shows great love.
Yeah, and as you mentioned earlier, I mean, Jesus was in the joy business. I mean, hope leads us to the sense of joy. So, I mean, we should be elated. Like, really? When I observe those who can afford to have parties having parties and not inviting me, right? I may be led to despair, and all of a sudden I'm being invited. All right, I'm included. Not only am I happy, I'm also joyful that God does love me as I am. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.